you. I'm a graduate student at Auburn University researching herbicide-resistant goosegrass and also evaluating various PPO inhibitors for goosegrass control. First of all, what is goosegrass? Goosegrass has a scientific name of Eleusine indica, belonging to the family Poaceae. A defining characteristic is, as a goosegrass plant matures, it becomes white in the center, giving it a wagon wheel-like appearance. Goosegrass has a clump-type form growth habit and acts as an annual but can also perenniate in tropical environments such as Hawaii. Goosegrass is a problem because of its ability to adapt to various environmental conditions such as highly compacted areas and high traffic areas. A mature goosegrass plant can produce up to 50,000 seeds per plant, and also these seeds can remain viable in the soil for an extended period of time. Photo on the left shows a goosegrass infestation in a Bermuda grass fairway. This is an example of a complete lack of cultural and chemical control in goosegrass setting in a golf course setting. The photo on the right is a goosegrass infestation in a bent grass green. This is an example of just not many pre-emergence options for goosegrass control in bent grass. As I said before, the growth characteristics of goosegrass make it difficult for control. So cultural practices such as aerification to prevent heavy goosegrass infestations are important, and also establishing a pre-emergent and early post-emergence plan to prevent goosegrass infestation are extremely important. Herbicide resistance was first introduced in 1973 in North Carolina in cotton, the active ingredient being trifluralin, and also in 1988 in Tennessee in turf, the active ingredient also trifluralin. The overuse of the dinitroanilin herbicides has resulted in herbicide resistance to become evident across the United States. This led to the replacements such as oxidizon and others to be used for goosegrass control. My study objectives were to determine if the suspected resistant goosegrass populations are resistant to oxidizon and to evaluate the rate response of suspected resistant populations compared to the susceptible populations. My study location was at Auburn University at Auburn, Alabama in the greenhouse. We had a controlled temperature of 29.4 degrees Celsius or 85 degrees Fahrenheit. On each table that the goosegrass plants were on, they had automated irrigation and lighting to encourage goosegrass germination and growth. The soil type used in this study was a Marvin sandy loam. A total of four populations used, two susceptible populations coming from Wilson Country Club and the plant breeding unit at Auburn University in Tallahassee, Alabama. The two suspected resistant populations coming from River Bend Golf Course in New Bern, North Carolina, and from the Country Club of Virginia in Richmond, Virginia. Three replications were used in the study and was repeated over time. Also, a randomized complete block design was used. A total of 10 treatments were used in the study, eight of those being oxidizon applied at increasing rates. Prodiamine and endazoflam were used in the study as comparable standards. We collected the data 6 weeks after application. A plant count was taken 6 weeks after application, and that was the total number of plants that emerged after the application of oxidizon. Total weight in grams, we took a fresh clipping at 6 weeks after application and weighed those. This line graph shows oxidizon, as you can tell, oxidizon applied at 0.28 kilograms of active per hectare controlled the susceptible populations at 100%. Although the suspected resistant populations, the x-axis being oxidizon applied, oxidizon increasing rates. At the low end labeled rate, control was minimal. On the y-axis is a total plant count. Very similar graph here. On the x-axis is oxidizon rate, and on the y-axis is the goosegrass overall weight. Again, at 0.28, control was complete control was seen from the susceptible populations. And again, applied at the low end labeled rate of oxidizon, control was minimal as we had weights in pots 6 weeks after application. On the x-axis in this figure here is we did a log regression, and on the x-axis is increasing log rates of oxidizon, and on the y-axis we did a relative count to the non-treated as percentage relative count. Also, for reasoning, we did these log regressions to gain an equation so we could calculate an I-50 and an I-90 value. That is the rate required to reduce the population by 50% and to reduce the population by 90%. I'll mention those later. On this graph is similar to the other, just showing minimal control from the suspected resistant populations. On the y-axis is relative goosegrass count. Again, we got a percentage relative to the non-treated. And on the x-axis is oxidizon rate applied at increasing rates. Here's the table I was mentioning earlier. We had our log equations from the previous slides, from the previous graphs, and R-squared values, and also I-50 and I-90 values. As you can tell from the suspected resistant populations, are much higher than the susceptible population. Results and discussion. Oxidizon applied at the label rate controlled the susceptible populations 100% of the time. Control was minimal for the suspected resistant populations when applied at labeled rate. And dazoflam and prodiamine applied as comparable standards resulted in 100% control of all populations, indicating there's no cross resistance from these suspected resistant populations. Our conclusions were similar to that of Michael Cox from Virginia Tech in 2014. These suspected oxidizon resistant populations are in fact resistant. Future research could include researching alternate active ingredients for pre-emergent goosegrass control, such as endazoflam. And with that, I'll take any questions.